I guess that you'll get a copy of the bulletin and you'll see all those announcements in there. I don't see anything that's saying. Oh, one other thing. If you've not signed up for Bible school, then you need to do that. That's a little something that you can do. My wife and I sign up every year and we ride Mailman Mike's bus. On the way back from church, I can't get here, you know, the way I work, to ride it to pick up the kids, but I can ride it going home, and we have a good time, and the Nashes always have something good to eat on their bus, and but they always have a little incentive there. But it's amazing to see kids come into church, and they come to Bible school, and you can have a part in it, it's just a little something that you can do. You don't have to be real talented or anything else. So if you've not signed up for it, I'm sure there's still a few openings that they're needing people in. So you need to see about doing that. Lynn and I have decided everything's so political. Am I way too loud? Okay. Sounds way loud to me. You all probably don't know it, but I've got hearing aids now. That comes with the territory. And I got those that you can't see. They're inside my ear canal. And I've got this little remote thing that I can turn them up and down. But when I'm talking, it sounds like I'm on a bullhorn or something. So if I get too loud, well, somebody wave their hand or something, and I'll take the mic off. But anyway, Lynn and I have decided that there's a lot of words we don't like to hear. They're not politically correct to me and her. And those words are like obese, fat, things like that. And we just decided that we're not going to use those words any longer. And we found a new word, a substitute word for that. It's called curvaceous. And so we're just a little bit curvaceous instead of fat. And it goes along really well with us. We feel better about ourselves, you know, since how we're no longer fat. We're just curvaceous. And I say that for myself more than I do for Linda, so don't go tell her I said that it was her idea. But we have a friend that I grew up with him, and this girl's mother is 102 years old and in pretty good health for 102 years old. And she pretty much says what she thinks, as a lot of us older folks do sometimes. And when she sees someone that was curvaceous, she wouldn't use that word. She'd say, "Look how fat those people are! Don't they know better?" Her daughter that keeps her, she says, "Mother, that's just not a good thing to say. People don't like to hear it, and I don't like to hear it. I don't want you to say that word ever again." And so the very next day, she was taking her mother to the doctor for just a regular appointment or something. And this guy walks in and sits down beside her mother. And he was twice as big as me. There's a lot of him. And so my friend was just sitting there waiting to see what her mother was going to say. Hoping that, and this was just the day after she had told her to never say that word again. Well, they called him back to the examination room. And when he got up to go back there, she's just sitting there kind of gritting her teeth waiting to hear what her mother was going to say. Her mother didn't say a word. She just went. That's a true story. And when I see her mother every now and then, I'm just wondering. As soon as I leave, she goes. But we really get concerned about being politically correct. A lot of churches anymore don't have Sunday school. They think that, some of them don't have room for it, but so my family goes to a church, and it's a prosperous church, but they don't have Sunday school. They have community meetings, they call them, and where they get together and they supposedly study the Bible and all that. And that's kind of a wave of things that's going on now in churches. You see more and more of it. And doing away with Sunday school, maybe it's because people like me tried to be a teacher or something, but I think Sunday school is a very important thing for us. And I'm glad we can have Sunday school, because you get a little different opinion maybe from what the preacher's giving but it's still from the gospel. And as long as we're here to learn something, I learn a lot more in Sunday school sometimes than I do in church. I really do. And that's not trying to slack off. I believe we ought to be in church. I believe we ought to be under the gospel message from the preacher. But sometimes the teacher gets right down on the level where I live, and it helps me a lot. And everybody's concerned about being politically correct. And pretty much, I went to a gospel concert not long ago, and one of the guys that was singing, he says, "Now, how many in here love Jesus?" Well, everybody raises their hand. And that's the politically correct thing to do, I guess, now. Everybody says, "I love Jesus." And you see it on the bumper stickers on the cars, and you see all kinds of stuff anymore, and they say, "I love Jesus." And a lot of these churches, from what I've been told, that's what they're there for. They're there to love on Jesus and let Jesus love on them. And whether they get anything from the scripture or not, I don't really know. But a lot of these churches are not wanting to be like our church in that they think we are too strict, or we've got too many rules and regulations and too many standards. I hear that from my own family sometimes. They think that that's not the end thing anymore. We're living under grace now. We're not living under the law. And so today we're going to look at some of the standards. If you say you love Jesus, what Jesus has said back to you, if you love Jesus. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to go through some of these. Now, in John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus even mentioned us loving him. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, most of us think when we read that verse, he's talking about the Old Testament commandments that you find in Exodus chapter 20. And we strive to keep those. Do not kill. Do not steal. All these things that will put you in jail. We try to avoid those commandments. I mean, try to obey those commandments. When it gets down to do not covet, or where they're not going to put you in jail for that one, sometimes I miss the mark on that. And don't have lust in your life. Sometimes that's a hard thing. They're not going to put you in jail for that unless you act on it. But all these things from the Old Testament, and they say, well, those things passed away when Christ came, and now we're saved by faith. But Christ had some commandments for us too. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. That's just as plain and simple as you can find. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to look at 22 commandments, not 10 or 12 or whatever. There's 22 commandments for we folks who call ourselves Christians, for we folks who say we love Jesus. And let's go through some of them. Starting in verse 5, let's read that. In chapter 5. "Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." I probably got in the wrong place here. Hold on just a second. Chapter 5. Okay, that is it. Okay. "You are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." There, in verse 6 it says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night," in verse 7, "and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." Verse 11 tells us that we're supposed to comfort ourselves, encourage one another. That's one of the first commandments, that we're supposed to be encouraging. Now, I've had people already this morning saying, "Why, we're glad you're teaching." And I said, "Well, don't be too glad yet." But it encouraged me. And I think any time you have a chance to encourage our preacher, our teacher, or anybody, you're supposed to take advantage of that. Steve and I were talking earlier this morning, how about an encouraging word to an employee makes them a better employee? It always does. And I've had to fire a few people in my time, and it wasn't any fun doing that. And after I'd fired them, I realized maybe I had never really encouraged them to try to do better and to try to do their job the way it should have been done. And of course, some of them, they shouldn't have never been hired. And so I go down to one of our stores in Murfreesboro, and I don't go down there much, but one of the last times I was down there, the first day I was there, I fired two guys. And so now everybody, when I walk in, everybody says, well, here comes the firing man, because my son that runs that store doesn't have the courage to do it, I guess. But they all agreed after it was all the dust settled that they should have been fired, or they shouldn't have never been hired. Let's put it that way. Also in verse 11, it tells us we should edify one another. That's another form of encouragement. And in verse 12, it says, know them or recognize those who teach his word, which I just got through mentioning, that they're worthy of our recognition. Gary is worthy of our recognition. The preacher's worthy of our recognition. The first grade teacher that teaches your children is worthy of our recognition. The bus drivers that brought in these kids today are worthy of our recognition. And the people that went out visiting this week are worthy of our recognition. They're all part of this church. And this is the Lord's church, just like Jody preached on Wednesday night. And verse 13 says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. That's what Jesus is telling us that we need to be doing. Also in verse 13, and be at peace among yourselves. Boy, that's sometimes that's very hard to do, especially in a church setting. It's amazing. Now, in my family setting sometimes, we're not always at peace with one another. But we finally end up, we are relatives. We are supposed to get along, and we do it. It's surprising to me how many families, a brother won't speak to a brother, or they won't speak to the dad or something over something that's happened. It's a Christian. If you love Jesus, he tells you you're supposed to get along with one another, and especially your family. I pray every day for my kids that they'll get along with themselves, with each other, and especially when you're involved in a family business, because everybody's got a different opinion on how things should go. And I've turned that business over to my sons, and it always worries me when they have a disagreement on how something should be done. They're both Christians, and I have to remind them of that occasionally, that they need to just agree to disagree or figure out some way that's a compromise that they can go on, and they have to love one another because they're brothers, not because they're in business together, but because they're brothers. Chapter 5, verse 13 says, and be at peace among yourselves. We all need to be at peace with each other in here and in the rest of the church. We don't need, I sit in a certain seat every Sunday, not because I don't like somebody that sits in another seat, but I've just gotten used to it. But if somebody's sitting in my seat when I come in, brother, that's their seat then. And that's the way we should think about things like that here in the church. It should be that we stay in peace with one another and wish everybody, I mean, we need to be wishing everyone well here and be encouraging them to. Encouragement to them. Verse 14, let's read that. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. The first part of that verse, warn them that are unruly. Well, I tell you what, young folks, we got a few young folks in here today, but when people tell you that you're out of line, you need to listen to them. And we adults, when we get out of line and somebody calls us on it, we need to listen to it. And when you see somebody that says they love Jesus, and they're getting out of line, and they're getting unruly, or they're talking in a manner that they shouldn't be talking, then you need to correct them. I walked out of a store the day before yesterday, or it may have been yesterday, I don't remember now, but there was these three young guys, emergency medical technicians. They'd been in a restaurant there to eat. And as I walked right by him, there's one of the guys just using awful vulgar language. So I just mentioned to him as I walked by, I said, "Buddy, you need to watch your language." And I don't know if he thought I was just a busybody or what he thought, but he was being unruly. And you never need to let that just go by unaccounted for. I wanted him to know that that I wasn't pleased with hearing that language. And neither should any Christian be listening to that kind of language. And it was out in the public, so I guess he figured it wasn't any of my business, but at least I let him know what I thought about it. Comfort the feeble-minded. Now, that doesn't mean that you all have to come and comfort me today. And sometimes I act a little feeble-minded. But what that's really saying is the faint-hearted. The folks that are having a lot of problems. The folks that are having troubles. Like we helped Darren and Bobby when their daughter was dying. And they weren't feeble-minded, but they were just faint-hearted. And any one of us, I would have been worse than they were. I thought they handled it very, very well. But Jesus says, if you love me, and you say you love me, you're going to have to comfort the feeble-hearted and the faint-hearted. Verse 14 also says, support the weak. That's people that are weak in the faith. Now, some of you folks have been here and been a Christian for most of your lives. And then you see a young Christian, they come in and they mess something up. They do something wrong. You need to comfort them and try to lead them back in a gentle way to get back on the right path. It's easy to get weak in the faith. If you think you're that strong, and oh, I would never do that, or I would never say that, or I never would think that. See, Jesus even knows what we think. That's what really gets me. I won't say a lot of things that I think, and then the Lord convicts me of it. The Holy Spirit says, well, you may as well just said it, because I heard it. And you say you love me, but I heard you say that, or I heard you think that. So we Christians have a lot that we need to watch after. And verse 14 also says, be patient toward all men. I wish you hadn't said that. I can't be patient toward myself hardly, much less all men. And when you're in a position like I am sometimes, and you've got customers wanting, they've got a problem, and their problem seems like it's the only problem in the whole world, and it probably is to them, but to me it's such a minor thing, and I just want to dismiss it. But Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to be patient with those folks. And if you say you love me, you better back it up with your actions. So many times, we can say it, but we don't live it. And verse 15, let's read that one. Says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. It says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. And boy, I tell you what, trying to be a man and somebody slaps you or does something absolutely wrong or lies to you or does something that you just want to get them back. And you just want to, whatever they did to you, you want to do it to them a whole lot worse. And Jesus says, if you love me, you can't do that. And sometimes I forget about that. I'll say, I love Jesus, and then I'm ready to knock somebody's head off if I thought I could. But I can remember when my dad was about my age now, somebody had done something wrong to him, and my dad was like that lady I was telling you about. He just says what he thought when he was alive, and a lot of the stuff he thought, I'm afraid, passed on down to me. But if somebody had done him something wrong, he says, I wish that guy was down here. I'd just whip him all over this place. And I thought to myself, a 72-year-old man ain't going to whip too many people. And so I have to consider that myself sometimes and not render evil for evil. And also in verse 15, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. You know, it's not hard to be good today. All y'all have been so nice to me, saying you're glad I was teaching. And Gary's probably, if he's watching live stream, he's probably saying, what were those people thinking? But it says, render good to all men, to everybody. And you're not going to win somebody to the Lord, or you're not going to influence somebody to come to church, to Buffalo Ridge Church, if you're being evil to them or being mean to them or talking down to them or anything else. It says you just got to follow that which is good among ourselves and to all men. Then verse 16 is something we don't have too much trouble with. Jesus says, if you love me, you should rejoice evermore. I tell you what, sometimes I get down and out, believe it or not, myself, get discouraged. But as a Christian, I can say, you know what? I can rejoice through this problem. I can rejoice that I have a Savior that's going to help me through this problem. I have the Holy Spirit that's going to give me guidance through this problem. And if you've never had a problem that you had to ask the Lord how to solve it or how to get through it or a heartache or something, just get prepared, because someday you will have. And I've had many times, not necessarily a bad heartache, but problems that I thought a Christian shouldn't have that. I shouldn't be bothered with that. But we're in this world, all of us together, and there will be problems come up in your life, but you got to be able to rejoice during your problems. And verse 17 says, another short verse, that Jesus says, if you love me, this is one of my commandments, pray without ceasing. That means praying about everything. Praying about, you're going to sell a book to those guys tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with that. I pray about selling campers to people. And if you're not praying for your job where you work, you better learn to pray for it. You may not have a job. And if you've got a business, I pray for all the business people in this church and some out of this church that are friends of mine, Christian friends of mine. I try to remember them every day, because I know the problems that they'll face in their business. I want their business to be successful. I want their business to be more successful than mine. And sometimes I can give them tips how to make their business more successful. But the best tip I can give them is to learn how to pray. Learn how to take your problems to the Lord. Learn how to take your thankfulness to the Lord. So many times the Lord does something great for me, and I just came right over it. Well, I earned that. And I didn't earn anything. And neither do you. We don't get nearly what we deserve as far as retribution goes and as far as punishment goes and things like that. So we need to pray without ceasing. Praying about everything. Something that's simple. We need to learn to pray about it. Pray about your relationship with your wife and your children and your employer or your employees, and I try to pray for my employees, but we got so many now I can't remember their names, but I still pray for them, and I let them know I pray for them. I think that gives them a little more respect of me, knowing that even though I might be fussing at them or correcting them or something, I still pray for them. And we need to learn how to do that. And this didn't come to me just because I'm such a good guy. It came to me because I learned it the hard way, that trying to do something without praying and get the accomplishment that you want to get out of something or the success you want out of something, and you've never mentioned it in prayer, very seldom will you ever get anything out of it. And I learned to pray the hard way. Really, I have. And then in verse 18... it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Boy, if you don't have a thankful spirit, how can you say, I love Jesus, and you don't thank people for whatever they do? I mean, no wonder people outside of the church think the church is full of hypocrites, because they've never seen us act like we love Jesus. We might have the bumper sticker, and we may have it tattooed on our arm or something, but when we don't let them know that we really mean that we're thankful for them and we're thankful for what's happened to us, you're just fighting a hard battle. You really are. And if you want to have influence on folks, especially those you work with or those you're around every day, let them see you give thanks. When you sit down to eat your lunch at work or in a restaurant, you better be thankful for it. We were in Murfreesboro in a little fast food restaurant or something, and so we sat down with me and Linda, I believe, was the only ones there, and so we said thanks for it, and a construction worker was sitting two tables behind us. He said, thank you for reminding us that we need to be thankful for our food. And I suppose he was a good Christian, but he said that in front of all the other construction workers. So never be embarrassed about bowing your head and giving thanks for your food. And I like to do it out loud where people can hear it. And usually when I do it, they hear it. And that might be the only connection they get that day with God is because they heard somebody give thanks over their food. So never neglect doing that. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's one of his commandments. In verse 19, it says, quench not the spirit. And I've often thought, well, now, how am I quenching the spirit? I'm not going to quench the spirit. But the spirit is like a fire. And when you throw water on it, you're going to quench that fire. And so when the Spirit's working in your life, telling you to do something, or telling you to witness to somebody, usually when I quench the Spirit, he'll say, you need to tell them about Jesus. You need to do a little something for them. Maybe give them something or do something like that. And then I just take that like it's nothing. And I quench the Spirit. Jesus said, if you love me, quench not the Spirit. Let's see. The next one is in verse 20. Despise not the prophesyings. Let me read that verse. Well, that's just what it says. Despise not the prophesying. That is Bible study. That's Bible teaching. Right now, I'm reading through J. Vernon McGee's book on my daily Bible reading. I'm in Revelation right now. And I've got such a blessing out of that and how he described what heaven is like. It's just amazing to me. I never thought of it. But John used the only words he knew for beauty. The only words that we could understand for beauty about the stones and the brilliance of it and all that stuff. And it made me think about that song, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be, that we sang at some funerals here lately. And so we need to study the in fact, Revelation gives you a promise that if you'll study, you get blessed by it. And I certainly want to partake in that, and I have been. It's a great book to read. Some of it's a little hard for me to understand, but with J. Vernon McGee's, I don't get a thing out of some of his books, but if you've not got a good commentary to read after, sometimes in these deeper things, like a Revelation, a commentary can, from people that have studied it and studied it and studied it, and especially those that are, well, I wasn't reading one that I didn't think was going strictly by the gospel. But it's helped me tremendously to understand some things that I had questions about. And it's just like having a preacher there as I'm reading that verse and he's explaining it to me. And then, let's see, get over to the next verse in chapter 21. I mean, in verse 21, it says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. In other words, just don't take it at face value. This preacher that's on TV wanting $60-some million for him, a new jet, I think you need to prove all things before you send him any money. He doesn't need a new jet. He might need a camper, but he don't need a new jet. I told him, when Gary was teaching about Solomon and all things was, or Jody was preaching about Solomon, everything was just, you know, is either high or low. And I told Jody, I said, well, he just didn't have a camper. If he'd had a camper, he might have been happy. And you guys selling those books, tell them if they had said these books, they might be happy. Then in verse 21, it says, hold fast that which is good. Hold to the truth. Know the truth. Learn the truth. That's what you're supposed to be doing here today, learning some truth from the Bible. You may have been here, and I've read these verses myself, not a zillion times, but several times, reading through the Bible, and just went right through them. Didn't think a thing about it, that Jesus said, these are some of my commandments. I always considered 10 commandments back there and didn't pay any attention to these other things. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And verse 22 is a good one for me anyway. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, I have some friends that don't think there's a thing wrong with drinking alcohol. I grew up in it, so I'm so against it. I mean, I was against it before I ever knew that the Lord was against it. But they say, well, as long as you don't get drunk or anything like that, you can drink. Don't drink to excess. To me, if I see you drinking, it's an appearance of evil to me. And there'll be some other people that'll think it's an appearance of evil to them. So I say, just do away with it. Don't even think about it. And there may be some folks sitting in here that thinks there's not a thing wrong with having a social drink. But if I see you doing that, it's appearance of evil to me. And I can't say that's going to send you to hell or anything else. But I'm just saying we need to abstain from appearances of evil. If you see me doing something like that, call me at it. Tell me about it. Hey, you ought not be doing that. Because I don't want to have an appearance of evil in my life. Because I love Jesus. He said, I've got to keep his commandments. And that's one of them. And then let's see. Let's get these finished up. Prove all things in verse 21. Hold fast that which is good in verse 21. Abstain from all appearance of evil in verse 22. And in verse 25 it says, brethren, pray for us. That's praying for your fellow Christians. Praying for your family, praying for folks that can't do a thing for you, but pray for them. And let's read that verse right quick. Brethren, pray for us. That's what Paul is telling to them. And then in verse 26, greet all brethren with a holy kiss. And that's one of Christ's commandments. J. Vernon McGee says that means a friendly handshake. So we don't have any license to go around here and start kissing everybody. And I don't want anybody kissing on me, but except maybe my wife or my kids or grandkids. I like grandkids' kisses. But greet all the brethren with a holy kiss or a good firm handshake. And that's one thing. I don't know if you taught Isaac how to shake hands or not, but that boy's got a good firm handshake. I know Steve had been mentoring him some, and he's come to work for us. And the first time I met him, he shook my hand. I felt like my hand was in a vise. So learn how to have a good firm handshake, especially you young guys. I charge you, this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. That's in verse 27. And I just did that. So you can go home and read it again for yourselves. And keep in mind, if you're telling people, I love Jesus, and you're wearing that bumper sticker, there's more than just the Ten Commandments in the Bible. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for these 22 commandments. They're not suggestions. They're commandments that we need to live by if we say we love you. And I want to help these people to understand them. I want to understand them better myself, dear Lord, and that I can keep these commandments. And pray that you bless now in the after service and the singing and everything that's done. May you be pleased with today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening.